and welcome to edition 281 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula One. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We're here to bring you our review of the French Grand Prix, along with the latest talking points from Formula One. I am Richard Baxter, hosting again, as usual, and with me tonight we have the two times Beppel's Kart champion, Kyle Cumbers.
Evening, Rich. How are you?
Yes, yeah, all good, thank you. How are you?
Yes, all good, thanks. Yep, can't complain.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, at the end of the last podcast, I said, you know, you never know by the time we're back for the next one, you know, England might be in the last 16, maybe quarterfinals. Well, they're in the last 16 of the Euros, so we've got plenty of sport to enjoy. And Grand Prix as well to go with it.
Yeah, it's too much at the moment. The Euros, Grand Prix, what, triple headers at the moment, or on our way to the second one of them. Got cricket. You know, I think Tour de France starts this weekend. It's all
kicking off.
Just work gets in the way of my sport watching.
Yeah,
that's not on.
Well, it's been good. I think we've been lucky on the Formula One side of things, because we had maybe a couple of races where it kind of went downhill a little bit, I suppose. Kind of Monaco Grand Prix, definitely Azerbaijan. Sorry, a little bit getting ahead of myself here. But the French Grand Prix kind of, it was a French Grand Prix, which was actually interesting.
Yeah, it was, it was a good Grand Prix, wasn't it? It was tense, wasn't it? It was sort of the build up and the fact that they were all quite close at the front made it good. I mean, we did sort of slaughter the track in the last podcast, didn't we? And I still, you know, it was a decent race, but still, it's not a very nice place to watch a Grand Prix, is it? It's just all those painted lines and all the different track layouts kind of ruins it a bit for me. But
it's weird. Like at the normal circuits, you see all the other track layouts and the roads that go off to the side, but usually there's a barrier in the way, or there's, you know, some grass in between or something like that. But in France, it's just there's a turning everywhere that's not part of the track.
Well, there's a bit, there's on the sort of back straight, and the bit they've included for Formula One, which came a bit there. There's probably about 20 different versions of the way you go around there, isn't there? Because you can go to the right, I think, can't you? And obviously, Formula One sort of go to the left. Yeah. Sometimes when somebody's about to overtake in there, and you sort of, the camera sort of pans out, and you think, oh, about to turn in. Oh, no, they're not turning in yet. It's this bit they're now turning in. But I suppose it wouldn't be a bad track layer if it was just kind of that track and then there was some gravel and grass, and it probably wouldn't be too bad. But no, as a, you know, sort of negative view, but from positive, I thought it was a good Grand Prix, especially with maybe the rain overnight obviously helped with the making a green track, and it turned it into a race that was in between one stop and two stop, and often they are pretty good, as we've seen at the Spanish Grand Prix as well, where, you know, not the best racing at Barcelona, but when it's in between one and twos, it can create a good race.
Yeah, definitely. Now we have to, we'll dive straight in at the deep end and say, but Verstappen arguably nearly lost the race at turn one. He, you know, first corner, start of the race, he took the lead. It was all looking okay. And you're thinking, you know, bit of a race on our hands. And then suddenly his car didn't want to stop. He had a little wobble and he went straight over the curb, and Hamilton just came past and was like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, he sort of, this could have been a big mistake, couldn't it? If he'd have been in another track, he could have been in gravel, couldn't he? But I suppose maybe they'd leave a little bit because they know they can run off. I was surprised with that. And it probably made it a better race. I'm not too sure if Red Bull would have pulled away or Max Verstappen would have pulled away. I think the race pace of Mercedes and Red Bull was pretty even, wasn't it? So. But I was surprised with that. He, because he wasn't really under pressure, was he? Because it looked like Hamilton was kind of content to be second and just making sure he didn't lose a place to Bottas or Perez. So that was kind of like unforced error really from Verstappen, but
yeah. And obviously, you know, Verstappen remained second under pressure from Bottas for a while. I think during the early parts of the race, Hamilton was in the lead, but then it kind of all happened, and you know, the pit stops, the undercut was powerful, and Red Bull made it work, and Verstappen ended up jumping Hamilton and took the lead under the pit stops. Now, we'll get on to the full strategy in this as well, because obviously, whilst Verstappen was in the lead, his team, they got their revenge on Mercedes, you know, from Spain. They did a two-stop, completely surprised Mercedes, and you know, it forced them, the Mercs, into having to go to the end on the hard tyres, which I feel like someone... I could be wrong. I feel like someone told us during the race that it was going to be a two-stop, but I just can't think who it was. But yeah, but no, the Red Bull really, their strategy was on it, and the Mercedes just seemed to be a little bit behind in that term.
Yeah, I think the bit confused me was, obviously they pitted Bottas first, didn't they? Which I assume was to try and undercut Verstappen. So then, and they were seeing from other, I think on that same lap, I think Leclerc came in early, didn't he? And I think he undercut a few people as well. So even just watching it, you could see all that was powerful. But then, yeah, I don't understand. You pit Bottas, so then you pretty much know that Verstappen's going to come in the next lap, don't you?
Hmm.
And why didn't Mercedes just bring in Hamilton to cover Verstappen? You already brought Bottas in, just bring Hamilton in the next lap, which normally kind of what happens.
Yeah.
So that just made no sense. Because, you know, Bottas wasn't too far behind Hamilton. I just didn't understand that whatsoever.
And it was, you know, the top three at that point of the race, they were all really close together. You know, you'd put money on there being a three-horse race, basically.
Yeah.
And Mercedes just seemed slow in thinking of strategy, you know. And it's not something that we often say about them.
No. It was only 3 seconds to Verstappen, wasn't it? Mm. And Red Bull are quick in the pit stops. Mercedes you get the impression, have to play a little bit safe. They're not the quickest. So that could be half a second to a second. You know, even if you just... Even a second can easily happen, can't it? Red Bull do a 1.9 second pit stop, and Mercedes could easily do a 2.9, couldn't they?
Mm.
And then, so you left yourself 2 seconds for Verstappen to gain on a lap, which can easily happen with a fresh set of tyres. And it just seemed a hell of a risk, really. And like, yeah. So when you've already brought Bottas in, surely Hamilton just comes in the next lap, I'd have thought. But I just, yeah, at the time I was like, what the hell are they? Why hasn't he come in?
Mm.
But yeah, it was a bizarre one, really. And you saw how much the tyres were wearing as well. So it did look early on that it could be a two-stop. Well, that'd be the quickest way to do it.
Mm.
So yeah, I scratched my head at that one.
And we have to say as well, obviously, Red Bull surprised Mercedes by bringing Verstappen in from the lead, stopping him twice.
Mm.
Now, obviously, that put pressure on the Mercedes. If they had responded, they would have come out behind, but with slightly fresher tyres. If you were in that position, would you have changed and gone for the two-stop as well?
I think I would. Because what was there, about 20-odd, 21, 22 laps left when Verstappen came in? Because it was still quite early, wasn't it?
Mm.
There's no point bringing him in straight away, because you lost a place, haven't you? And then you've got tyres that are one lap younger or whatever. But I suppose you could have waited another 8 to 10 laps, maybe, and then given it a go, and you could have pushed extra hard. Because I think it was, from early on, it looked like they were in trouble. But I thought it was strange not to bring in at least one of them, either Bottas or Hamilton, just to leave both of them there. I thought it seems a bit strange. Not the same same time, you saw how much Ferrari were struggling on their second set of tyres at that point. So, what, two-thirds of the way through the race, and they were struggling big time. I know they're harder on the tyres than most other teams, it looks like, but you thought, well, these tyres just, they might last, but you're going to be dead slow at the end. So, yeah, just, they've a bit of sleep at that point as well, I thought. I thought at least bring one of them in.
Yeah, I think that would have made more sense.
Yeah. I mean, you could have left Hamilton out because he's better on his tyres than Bottas, but, and also the fact that Bottas was from early on going on about two stops. But they didn't get that right, which they admitted at the end as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
Charles came on and said it's on them, wasn't it? I think his words were. But I don't know if you listened to the official F1 podcast, and they had the Brackley boys, and it was like some of the Andrew Shublin, James Vowles, Ron Meadows, and somebody else, I can't remember. Also, all the Ford's like team members have been there since like the BEAR days. And they were laughing about James Vowles and his strategy, and they talked about Lewis Hamilton and stuff. And I think the rest of them laughed that, yeah, sort of Hamilton often gets James Vowles out of trouble when he makes a mistake. But even Hamilton couldn't quite get them out of trouble in this one.
No. And it was a bit funny because we had angry Bottas turn up. He was not very pleased at all. Ah, of course, it was him who said about, it's him. Why does no one listen to me? That's what he said. When I say it's going to be a two-stopper. Of course. but that was what he was banging on about after the race. But he really frustrated me because obviously they had Verstappen hunting him down, hunting down both Mercedes. And Mercedes' strategy kind of seemed to pin on the fact that Bottas could hold Verstappen up for one or two laps.
Yeah.
Now, one more lap, if Bottas had held him up for one lap, that would have been very interesting end of the race because it would have been a literal last lap showdown. But for me, I don't know what you thought about it, but he just didn't seem to drive that intelligently, I think is probably the best word I can use. He had Verstappen coming, getting closer to him on the back straight, and he decided to go defensive, take the defensive line into that kind of the kink on the straight. And he took the defensive line, but he didn't really need to because Verstappen was so far back. And then by taking that defensive line, he narrowed his corner even more.
Mm.
And he kind of lost the pace as he kind of went across the curb a little bit. And then Verstappen just had an easy drive around him. And it really frustrated me he didn't seem to think about it. He was just like, oh, never mind, I've lost the place. I don't care anymore.
Yeah, At the time, I was like, he doesn't need to defend it. He doesn't need to defend as he was going across.
Mm.
Like you said, and then just... Also, so much shit from the tyres on that side of the track. Because they're obviously wearing so much. There's so much tyre marbles. You probably struggle for grip anyway. But yeah, it was a bit... I know it's good to see somebody defending, but... when you didn't need to, and you lose so much time, it was it didn't look great. And then you had and Hamilton didn't even bother to defend.
No, he just seemed to kind of let him by. I think
it's like okay.
Hamilton kind of seemed pretty happy to take the second place. I mean,
yeah.
After all, it is a marathon, not a sprint. Famously,
just don't touch that magic switch.
Yeah. That's probably what he was thinking. He's like, careful.
I was surprised with Bottas. And also, he was losing a lot more time than Hamilton was at that point. I honestly can't remember how Perez got past him.
I think that was late on as well.
Yeah. I can't remember if he done whereabouts on the track he done that.
Oh,
I can't remember. Yeah,
no, you got me.
I can't remember now. Yeah, because there was an investigation for them under them too, wasn't there? I had no idea.
Yeah, they're under investigation for a couple of laps, but then I didn't see why.
Just that's apparently why Mercedes didn't pit Bottas right at the end to get the fastest lap, because there was a chance that Perez was going to get a 5-second penalty, but I don't think we actually saw that on the TV.
No, unless he ran four wheels off the track or something. I don't know.
Yeah, which, you know, you make your own circuit by running four Ricards, can you?
You literally could.
But yeah, the car's not set up for this one. We're going to try something else.
Oh, classic. But yeah, I think that's kind of wrapped up the French Grand Prix. Is there anything else you can think of?
Any other controversial?
I think it's worth just mentioning the McLarens.
Oh yes, yeah.
They had a very strong race. Danny Rick seemed to be on it, and was, you know, they were fifth and sixth, the McLarens, and yeah, Danny Rick finally seemed to kind of be more at ease with the car. Mm. It was.
The start of the race didn't seem particularly quick, but they seemed to be looking after their tyres quite well, didn't they? And towards the end of that sort of first stint of everybody, sort of Lando Norris and Danny Rick were sort of making their way through, even though their tyres looked awful on the cars. They just seemed a lot quicker than everybody else. And I think because Lando Norris went a bit longer, didn't he? I think he sort of done a Perez style and went a bit longer than when the others first pitted, and that seemed to work out for him. And then, yeah, he's Mr. Consistent, isn't he? Best of the rest.
He's been smashing that this season. Mm. So, yeah, good stuff. I think we will come back to the French Grand Prix in a little while and fully wrap it up. But in the meantime, for those of you listening, just a bit of housekeeping just to advise and let you guys know, really. We're going to do the one pod today. So today's one is going to be a special all-in pod. So we will be, we will include something a little special. And then for Austria, because it's back-to-back races this weekend, this weekend and the one after, two Austria races, we're going to group those together into a mega podcast that we're going to do. We'll probably do it as a two-part special. So do keep an eye out for those. But that seems the easiest way to get podcasts turned around for a triple header, basically. So I hope that is all okay. I mean, I don't know what we're going to do if it isn't, to be honest. But yeah, I hope that's all okay. But if there's anything anyone wants to bring up, let us know. Tell us your thoughts, please do. As always, there's many ways you can get in touch with us. The best place to start is patreon.com/nrf1. You will find the full edition of the podcast, which will include the Of the Weekend Awards. These are coming up, by the way. We also would include the Norfolk Notebook and the NRF1 Pit Stops. If you're listening right now on Patreon, this one is just a special all-in, just as a treat for everyone. So no Norfolk Notebook and NRF1 Pit Stops this week, but they will be following soon with the Mega Austria pod that we're going to do. Also, tell us your thoughts, get in touch. Social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, you can follow us on them. The handle for all three is @thenrf1. And the email address as well, that is nrf1podcast@gmail.com.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers.
Okay, good stuff. So let us finish wrapping up the French Grand Prix with the awesome Of the Weekend Awards. So it's all on you this week, Kyle. Rodolfo Gonzalez, driver of the weekend.
I think we just mentioned him. Lando Norris for me.
Yeah.
I know the McLarens were a minute behind, but he still beat I still beat Danny Ric by 11 seconds. Yeah, and he's just, as I mentioned earlier, he's just Mr. Consistent at the moment. Mm.
Both McLarens, they started 8th and 10th, and they finished 5th and 6th. That's some good going for them.
Mm. Sort of. So I think they only pitted once as well, so they're looking after the tyres, and yeah, it's pretty impressive for them. Also mentioned from Pierre Gasly as well. He was sort of another good qualifying, but he's sixth on the grid. Another strong performance from him. He seems to sort of get it with the McLarens and the Ferraris. He seems to get his nose in there. Well, he seemed pretty gutted afterwards, but I think he should be pretty proud of a 7th place at AlphaTauri. I think definitely Lando Norris overall. I don't know how he got on with the official F1 Drive of the Day votes. I can't remember who won that anyway. But
oh, I think Verstappen won it. I think Ricciardo was there as well.
Oh, really? Okay.
But hey, you know, this isn't official, and what we say goes. And
I don't take any notes of that Drive of the Day thing. It's just always seems Verstappen seems to be the top three anyway, and launch somebody off in the first corner, it'll still be Verstappen.
It's popularity, isn't it? It's who people like. Yeah. So who's going to go with their favourites? But this one, totally unbiased, totally down to the performance. So we can't complain. What we're trying to say basically is our awards are better. So
who would you go for, Rich?
I'd agree. I think Lando had a great race. I'd also put a worthy shout in there for Lance Stroll, who started 19th on the grid and he finished 10th. Yeah. Vettel was obviously just in front of him as well. So the Aston Martins also had decent races.
Mm. Did you see his interview afterwards with Sky?
I don't think I did, no.
He's in the right grump. I think Rachel Brooks was interviewing him, and she asked him a question, and it was like, first answer was just, yeah, it was good. It's very short and sharp. And I was like, okay, what's upset him? I thought, well, he's gone from 19th to 10th. That's a pretty good race. And both Aston Martins win the points, weren't they? So, yeah, I don't know. Something that upset him.
Yeah, maybe his dad strange.
Was, maybe his dad wasn't happy he finished behind Vettel at the moment. But
who knows? But the next award, Team Lotus Team of the Weekend.
Red Bull, probably. I think I've just gone Red Bull just ahead of McLaren for their strategy and the teamwork as well, because Perez seems to be very happy in his number two position. Didn't he give that message like when he let Verstappen pass, you know, let's go get him together or whatever?
Yeah, something like that.
It was a bit cheesy, to be honest, but but yeah, they seem to be on it.
And they're working as a team, which is the big thing. So,
and you could, you know, and before Mercedes, Bottas and seemed very much a team member, but he seems frustrated. I mean, he still is, doesn't it? You know, because it's just he's a good guy, Valtteri, from what we see, but doesn't seem the happiest. But yeah, Perez seems very happy in being supporting Verstappen on his quest to be champion.
Well, you know, maybe if someone just listened to Bottas, he might not be in such a
crap. Exactly.
good stuff. I like that. Next award is the Pastor Maldonado of the weekend. Who messed it up?
It's old Charlie Leclerc.
Yeah, he didn't have a good race, did he?
No, I mean, look, it was sort of that early the Ferrari was obviously ripping up its, or eating up its tyres. But to still because Carlos Sainz out-qualified him, didn't he? And was out-racing him, and to end up finishing 16th behind George Russell, who had a very good, race, and Tsunoda, who started in the pit lane, Ocon and Giovinazzi. Yeah, it's not good at all.
No, and this is the guy who's taken the last two pole positions previous to the French Grand Prix. So, yeah, not a good weekend at all.
Hey, how about you, Rich?
The only other guy I can really see is Latifi. I mean, we know how good George is, and he got the Williams up in 12th. But Latifi was just, I don't think we even saw him. I don't remember seeing him driving around the track.
No. That's true, yeah. I saw he got ahead of Russell at the start, I think. I was amazed how quickly Tsunoda got ahead of both the Hasses and the Williams. So, and I wasn't really taking much notice of the lower part of the grid because, well, TV is mainly dominated on the front four, really, wasn't it? So you didn't really see what was happening further down. But when I saw George Russell got 12, I was like, wow, it's pretty impressive. And when everybody finishes and a dry race, but let's say Latifi to be 18th compared to 12th doesn't look good.
Yeah, he went a bit under the radar, did George? But I don't think he'll complain because, I mean, one of his best races for Williams. So
that's what he said, didn't he? He said it was his best race for them. So,
Chaffer, it's not going to do him any harm in the grand scheme of things. So,
no,
good stuff. And the last award is the Giuliano Salvi moment of the weekend. Ooh. There was one I did see, I think it was on Instagram, which I liked. And that was, I can't remember if it was after the race or qualifying, but there was Mick Schumacher who got out of his car, and obviously Vettel is there as well. And they both went over, and Vettel was kind of looking inside the car with Mick and talking about something. And you could really see how he was. Vettel was helping this young lad who's just come into the sport, and it was nice. It was great to see. You know, they say Vettel's doing to Mick what Michael did to Vettel, and it's great to see.
So meant to, yeah, I did see that, but and also Vettel does like a good nose around other cars, doesn't he? pick up anything, can't you? You know. Yeah, Adrian Newey said you always pick up, you go to the back of the grid and somebody might have come up with something that is interesting and something they maybe could adapt in their own car. But he's definitely sort of mentoring role for Mick. I think my moment probably the first pit stop when Hamilton was coming out and that sort of realisation that Stefan was going to get ahead of him, really. Sort of when you're sort of going, oh, hang on a second, he's not going to get ahead of him here. It's probably my moment. There's a few little interesting battles, I suppose, isn't there?
Yeah. And just quickly, with the pit lane, does it seem a bit dangerous to you, the pit exit? Because it comes straight out onto the racing line.
Yeah.
It's just it's not really a kind of gradual kind of linking of it. It's just a sudden kink in the pit lane exit and you're on the track.
Also, the entrance to it was really tight as well. It was like tighter than Monaco, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit weird. Funnily enough, it actually reminded me of when we've done karting before at Ella Park in Beccles, of course, brilliant Beccles. And the pit lane there, where you exit, it goes onto the racing line. Mm. And I remember leaving the pits every time I would look over my shoulder just to check if there's anyone coming down the straight and make sure that you weren't going to collide, because it's a bit worrying when you're coming out and there's someone coming, you know, in a little go-kart like 40 miles an hour, whatever you're going. It's a bit strange. And see that in Formula One, it seemed quite dangerous.
Yeah, it's not the best, but I don't know what else they can do, really. But yeah, sort of the pit lane probably needs to be like the other side, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, you have to do one of the under the track Abu Dhabi style things.
Yes. Yeah, probably. Yeah, if it was the other side, it'd probably be better. Even the entrance would be better. But yeah, I didn't understand why the entrance was so tight there. You think it was quite a lot of land there, haven't they? You think they could make that a bit easier? But no, they got to leave those. Is it gorilla statues?
Were they?
Yeah.
I don't even know why they're there.
The less said about them, the better, I think. I think it was a couple of years ago they brought them in, didn't they? Like, well, what on earth are these? And then, like, oh, God, they're still back this year.
Yes. Is it some
local artist or something?
I have no idea.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't really got an art brain and don't appreciate good art. But I don't quite understand that, to be honest. Maybe somebody can explain it.
Yeah, everyone has the links. You just tell us what we're missing.
But red, white, and blue gorillas. Yeah, what are we missing? Yeah.
Awesome. Nice. I think that is France fully wrapped up then. So we need to go ahead and look at the first Austria race, which is actually the Styrian Grand Prix. Now it looks quite interesting because the biggest takeaway we can take from looking ahead right now is rain. Looking at the weather, Google says Friday and Sunday thunderstorms and Saturday showers or rain. So it's even the precipitation chart they have is over 50% chance of rain on every single day. I think Friday looks guaranteed, up in the kind of 80s and 90% chance, with kind of 70 for Saturday and Sunday. The highs are 70 right now. And this seems like I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves here, but this is going to be interesting if it's raining heavy.
Yeah, and also that's what we want for two Grand Prix at the same track. If one weekend's full of rain, then bring it on. Obviously, we had the wet qualifying last year in one of the races, didn't we? Was that the Styrian one?
I think it was, yeah.
Yes. I was looking at the qualifying end because Hamilton was miles ahead of everybody else, wasn't he? So yeah, if we can get that again, that's should be fun. Also, it's a track that kind of you can get punished for mistakes, and obviously it's easy to make mistakes in the wet. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely. I did have a little look before we started, and it looks like Google or someone on there has removed Bottas's lawn mowing services from the circuit on Google Maps. So a bit sad that's gone. You know, that was some fun memories in that. But no, we could well see more of that with the rain. So who knows? But what are your expectations? Who do you think, Red Bull or Mercedes? Who do you think will be at the front?
Red Bull got quite a good record there anyway, haven't they? Sort of last sort of few years. Because I think Verstappen's won there twice already, and in a car that's not been as strong as the Mercedes. Mercedes sort of, have they made mistakes their previous years? They sort of, 1 year, I think they both retired, didn't they?
Mm.
I can't remember which year that was, wasn't they?
Well, Hamilton had a tangle with Alex Albon there. Was that last year, wasn't it, I think?
Yes, that was the first race last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he kind of had a bit of a tangle there.
Yeah, Bottas did win that one, didn't he? Hamilton did win this, the second one.
Yes, that sounds right.
But, yeah, I didn't... So hard to tell, isn't it? They're so close, aren't they? That, if it's wet... Based on previous form of that track, you'd have to go Hamilton and Mercedes. But obviously, Max is pretty handy in the wet. Yeah, I don't.
I suppose the biggest question we can ask, and it's not even ourselves, we have to ask Mercedes, but will they start practice strongly? Because the last couple of races, they've been on the back foot through practice. They've not been, you know, top two, three. They've been a bit further back, and they've had to make changes to the car late. And, you know, when that happens, you're straight away on the back foot. You know, you're going to be in trouble. And it's shown for Mercedes, you know, with Monaco especially.
But yes, yeah, going back to Monaco, isn't it? Because Hamilton looked nowhere in practice, did he? He was really struggling. But he somehow seems to pull something out for qualifying, doesn't he? You start to wonder if they really turned down Hamilton's engine. Is there an issue there or something? But he's which must be quite annoying for Bottas. I think he seems to be stronger, doesn't he? P1, P2, P3, and okay, I can qualify ahead of Hamilton here, and then Hamilton pulls a lap out in Q3. But yeah, for them it'll be also because it must be easier if you have a decent setup, then you can worry about tire wear and other stuff. You're not chasing a setup every session. So yeah, they'll be desperate for a good Friday. They should have plenty of data around there, but maybe it's the Mercedes car this year. It's harder to. So they called a few years ago the car a diva, didn't they? But this one could be even a bigger one.
Yeah, it's a possibility. We'll see. Obviously, rule changes have changed things. But you know what? It's great viewing. It's exciting. So I'm sure we're going to have another cracker. And I mean, hey, let's hope the rain doesn't ruin the racing and keeps it more exciting.
Yeah, it's got somebody random to win, you know, like a Kimi Räikkönen on somebody on there. In the rain.
There you go. Put a pound on Kimi Räikkönen to win. See what happens then.
You'll lose a pound.
Oh, awesome. Well, I think that is everything. Anything else you can think of to mention quickly around it at all?
Probably this was only a little bit of news last week was Esteban Ocon getting a new contract in it for 3 years, which
yes,
surprised the length of it surprised me. He's had a decent year so far. He's looked pretty good. But yeah, I was surprised the 3 years. I didn't start to wonder if Pierre Gasly would be a strong choice for that team, but obviously they're backing Ocon, but he's still managed by Mercedes, which is kind of interesting, isn't it? But were you surprised by the length of the deal?
Yeah, I'm pleased he's there because I think he's driven well. And he's showing that he's good. French driver, French team, obviously, but they've been linked with Gasly so much. I was expecting Gasly to move because you know he's not going to get his chance at Red Bull anytime soon. He won't just want to sit at AlphaTauri. So I mean, who's he going to go to? Is anyone else going to take a punt on him?
You can't really see many other options, really, can you? Because McLaren are pretty settled, aren't they? Alpine are now settled. Fernando Alonso's got another year there, unless Alonso leaves at the end of next year. If the Alpine's not that good, and he thinks, well, he's had enough.
Yeah, and you'd probably say Aston Martin, they haven't got space. McLaren haven't got space.
Yeah, I can't really see where else he can go at the moment.
You know, Ferrari, probably not. Williams would be arguably a backward step. Yeah. Alfa Romeo, the same thing. So there's just no one that stands out as a team he can move to. So I think he'll be there for a while. We'll see, though. Yeah. Yeah, I'm like you say, surprised by the length of Ocon's contract, but I'm pleased for him because he's driven well.
Yeah. I think that's about the only news really recently, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything else.
There's been no more sort of calendar changes yet, is there? I don't think it's looking too good for certain places in the world.
No.
But just kind of hoping for Turkey to pop back up on the calendar when replace the Singapore Grand Prix, I'm kind of hoping for, but we shall see.
Yeah, definitely we'll see. We'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah, love a bit of turkey.
Fantastic. Right, well, I think we might as well wrap it up and end it there. So we'll say we will return with E282, which will be our double up Austria Grand Prix review. So the Styrian Grand Prix and the Austrian Grand Prix in a bumper pod, but in two parts. Hope that makes sense. But yeah, we'll do that. Hopefully back in the pub as well. Look forward to that. But yeah, please do get in touch. Let us know your thoughts. And we'll make sure that we bring them up and follow them on the podcast. In the meantime, Kyle, thank you for joining me. It's been fun.
Yep. Cheers, Rich. Yep. And see you soon.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. We'll do it again soon. And only a few more days and the racing's back on. So thank you, everyone, for listening. It's much appreciated. Hope you enjoy the race. Hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy the football, the cricket, the everything else that's coming on as well that we said earlier. It's going to be good. But this has been the NIF1 podcast. We'll see you next time. Until then, goodbye.